Today on Real Life Radio.
You know what? If you're a teacher, be a spirit-filled teacher. Daring not to be like most. Don't be like the crowd. Be a radical mom for Jesus. Be a radical teacher for Jesus. Are you a contractor? Be a radical spirit-filled contractor for Jesus. It's pretty much impossible to be a lame duck Christian when the Bible says things like this.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Truth doesn't need permission, and it doesn't need a filter. The Real Life Network delivers bold biblical content that addresses today's toughest issues with clarity and conviction. Watch teachings and interviews and the special programs that equip you with God's truth for the world that we live in today. Sign up for free at reallifenetwork.com. Stay grounded in Scripture, gain perspective, and remain confident in Christ no matter what's happening around you. Stream for free today at reallifenetwork.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues with his series now called Disciplines of Life and a message titled Disciplines of Daring. The Bible is full of action and adventure, it really is. The book of Joshua is no exception. It's a great lesson of spiritual exploits. You see, to make a real difference in the world for the gospel, we need to understand that we are in a real and actual war. A spiritual war, of course, invisible to the human eye, but the effects of this spiritual war always reveal themselves in our physical world. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that Christians who are daring through the weakness in their life are those who are strong and those that know their God and will do great things for His namesake. Now with his message called Disciplines of Daring, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul is saying, you know what? I have found out I have been the most righteous guy in the block. I was the most holy guy in the synagogue. Nobody thought anything other than of me of absolute, I want to be like Saul or Paul. Look at him. He's the fair rep. Boy, look at him. He was it. And Paul said, all of that stuff translated to nothing the moment I met Jesus. And then he found his strength in Christ, so much so that he was so strong in Jesus that he said, you know what? I want to know the power of his resurrection. And we could all say, amen. Yes, Lord, I want to know that power of the resurrection. And the very next statement, he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. What? Paul found a secret that to be daring for Jesus, you can't love your life. Here's the trick. The world tells us and our flesh tells us, love your life, love it, take care of it. First of all, we automatically love our lives. We automatically do. We are the first ones we think about. We're the first ones we feed. We're the first ones to get a drink for ourselves. We naturally love ourselves. Paul says, here's the key. Jesus said it. He said, listen, do you want to give up your life? You'll find it. We naturally love ourselves. The key is, Lord, you love me more than I could ever take care of me. So, Lord, I relinquish my life to you. And that is a form of surrender that is unlike anything you've ever experienced in life, because that type of surrender causes you to come to the front of the line, as it were, and say, Lord, I surrender. And the Lord says, okay, great, then stand up and let's go. It's an awesome way to live. In 2 Corinthians 12:8, the Bible says, concerning this thing, Paul was attacked and sick by physical ailments as well as spiritual demonic attack. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Here's the apostle praying to God to have his sickness removed from him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Church, listen to that. that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities or weaknesses, in my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is a secret to Christianity. How can we be daring in this life? By being reckless. And how can we be reckless for Jesus? Because we need to understand, no matter how weak we are, those weaknesses literally become the platforms of our victories. You guys, this is contrary to everything that you and I have been fed in the natural world. Oh, I could never do that. God says, awesome. Then that's what we're going to do. That's how God gets the glory. Daring the weaknesses in your life, number one, jot it down. It's this way, daring to go on with Jesus. Tonight, new Christian, you say, I'm going to go on with Jesus. I am not going to look back. Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We don't plow anymore, but some of us mow our lawns. And if you're mowing your lawn, and if you look back, you're going to go off the course with your lawnmower. Or if you're a sailor tonight, or whatever you do. If you're sitting on the course and you're looking at it, and you look to the left or the right, especially behind you. In fact, you can be driving your car. Don't ever do this. If you're driving your car and you look too far to the left or too far to the right, guess what happens to your steering wheel? Did you know that you change lanes? You'll naturally turn. Pressing on, going with Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, Paul said, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, oh man, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In one sentence, he just made a statement that could fill up the rest of our lives. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Man, could Paul talk or what? No wonder why they study his words in law school, Book of Romans. Guy's a genius, touched by God, amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Yes. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I want to encourage you, Christian, press on to Jesus. This world is crazy. Our nation is abandoning us. Our state, it's broke. The dollar's going down. What are we going to do? Are you kidding? What are we going to do? We're going to do what we've been told to do. Follow Jesus. Isn't it amazing? God's not up in heaven counting his dollars to see how he's doing up there. Are you kidding? He uses gold to pave the streets up there. You guys, it's going to be great for us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen, it's easy to start. It's another thing to finish. But if we keep our eyes on him, we're going to make it all the way through. Keep your eyes on him. That's why we need one another. I'm serious. I wish I could just, you know how they go out in the ocean, you know, National Geographic, and they tag sharks and stuff. They tag them, put a tracker on them. Boop, 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 boop. I wish we could do that right here. Tag all the believers and make sure all the believers are swimming together, right? What I mean by that is, man, we fellowship with each other, friendships with each other. I know this church is big, but it doesn't have to be big. And don't tell me it's too big. It's just too big. Hey, listen, I went to one of the biggest churches in America. And if you began, look, just you guys right here. You guys in this area, you start to get, I know you sit in the same place every week. You guys start getting one another's names. See, he's looking at us right in our group. Oh my gosh. If you guys start getting each other's names over here, okay, and say, hey, you guys want to go out to dinner next week? You guys want to go out to dinner before service on Wednesday night? What? That's how it happens. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. That's what happened to Lisa and I at Calvary Costa Mesa. Back in those days, there's 28,000 people going to that church. And you know what? It felt like a little church because every Friday night we had people over at our house and we played Bible trivia for hours. It was brand new. Nobody had ever heard of such a game like that. It was brand new. It was fun. It was great. Fellowshipping together. And then stuff happens after that. It's great. Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have done. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. That is a radical verse. Is that not amazing? Daring verse, is it not? John 14, 12, Jesus says, you know what? You're going to be able to do the same things that I do and even greater things. You say, Jack, that's crazy. How can we do greater things than Jesus? Listen, are you ready for this? The reference of you'll do greater things than me, Jesus said, because I go to the Father. Guess what? It's the power of the Holy Spirit that takes the Christian who shares the gospel with another person, and that person makes a decision for Jesus. That's an evangelistic outreach. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel is the commission that was given to every one of us who name the name of Jesus. What greater work do we get to do that Jesus didn't do? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we get to do that he didn't do. Is that amazing? I think that's amazing. And you guys know, if you've been around this church, we invented a statement at this church years ago. We really did. That in this church, you are either a sender or you're a goer. You either help people go spread the word, or you help the radio program go to the ends of the earth or whatever, or you go yourself. It's a wonderful thing, but you got to go and go with Jesus. I hope tonight, as you live a daring life for Jesus, that you live a life that's bigger than you are. I want you to have a Christianity that's bigger than you are. You need to have a ministry that's bigger than you. You guys, this is key. See, well, Jack, I've only been a Christian for a few weeks. You want to have a ministry that's bigger than you? In a few weeks? You've only been a Christian for a few weeks? That's perfect. We need you for the parking lot ministry to guide cars like this. Hey, look, brand new Christian, put on a smile. You don't have to tell a new Christian, by the way, to smile. Have you noticed that? It's the old crusty Christians. You have to say, smile, will you? The new Christian's like, yeah, woo-hoo! Park your car there, buddy. I mean, they're all pumped up. They're forgiven. They're excited. The Bible's jumping out of them. They're like, listen, you've been saved for 2 weeks? We need you. We need you. We need your excitement for Jesus. It's amazing. It's awesome. Your ministry, your Christianity, the life that you're living needs to be bigger than you. That's the wonderful thing about Christianity. It should be terrifying. Get up in the morning, Lord, what are we going to do today? I mean, I know I'm going from here to work, but what's going to happen between here and there? And then once I get there, the whole other thing happens. Oh, the Christian life. It's got to be bigger than us. If your Christianity is just so predictable, something's wrong. Go with Jesus. Also this, daring to see the new you. The new you in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know this verse, but do we believe it? Listen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Ladies and gentlemen, is that not in the Bible? Old things have passed away. Well, you know what? I used to be a hooker. Old things have passed away. You know what? I used to be a bank robber. Old things are passed away. He goes on. All things have become new. What an amazing thing. I mean, your friends call you up. Hey, I heard you're a Christian now. That's right. Well, whatever. Come on. We're going to go to Joe's Bar and Grill and do this or that. I'm not going to do that anymore. Why? I heard on Wednesday night that I'm a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. All things become new. Your friends, you'll hear, ting. They just hang up on you. You got to stand in the truth of God. Take a stand. Who are you now in Jesus?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I bought recently a quote book from, it was like the Z Gallery store. It's not a Christian book. It's a quote book, though. It's hilarious. And in the quote book, for example, Winston Churchill says, if you're going through hell right now, don't stop, just keep on going. Isn't that great? Oh, my life is horrible. Well, then don't stop, keep going till you get on the other side. And the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, said, she said, it doesn't matter what the people think about me, I am the queen. What matters is what I think about them. Isn't that hilarious? Well, listen, what does God think about you? Does God right now look over a cloud and say, Jack, you crazy new creation in Christ, you? Yeah. We've been recreated in Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says this, that we are now his workmanship. I like that. I'm not my own workmanship. I don't work my way into heaven. He saved me. Now that he saved me, I want to do good works, but it doesn't get me to heaven. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How cool is that? Daring to see the new you. It's amazing. So I have this question. What do you see in your life for the next 5 years or 10 years as a Christian? Think about it. Where do you see your Christianity in you in the next 5 years? Well, I had a bank ask. When we were starting to build this place, the bank comes to the interview. Okay, well, all right. And they ask you these questions. Do you have life insurance? Where do you see yourself in 20 years? Are you serious? In 20 years, I'm a Christian. I see myself getting raptured and up in heaven any minute now. Well, you know, the bank doesn't want to hear that. What? Oh, yeah, baby. We want to borrow your money and then rapture out of here. I know some of you Christians have adopted it as a financial operation, but you shouldn't do that. But where do you see your life? For example, watch this. On a large scale regarding the church, body-wise, there's the massive need, as you know, to develop or to finish off the East Wing building for the children's ministry. Where do you see yourself now regarding the participation of that? Okay, look at this. On a lesser scale, there's the ministry that's going on right here. We have all kinds of things here in the front seat pocket there in front of you of how you can get involved. Why? You guys, it's going to get done with or without you. Honestly, come on. God will find somebody to take care of the stuff. These things are provided for your spiritual development. They really are. These things are for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Oh, he's trying to get us to sign up for something. Just sit there. Just sit there and rot away. You'll just sit there and you'll get glued to your seat. Someone will step in. Aren't you terrified of someone taking a task that God wanted you to do? And then you stand before God in the end. You go, man, I didn't get anything done. And he said, well, I tried to get stuff done. You weren't listening. And man, I don't want to do that. I'd rather get an A for trying and getting in trouble than an F for just sitting around. Say, I didn't know what to do. I hope that I stand before God and the Lord says, you know what, Jack? You just did this, you did that. I didn't tell you to do that, but you know what? You messed a lot of stuff up, but I got to tell you, I'll give you an A for trying. At least you didn't sit around. Come on. It's the only way to live. Be daring for him. Ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit and then take off. Hey, you know what? I don't know if you know this or not, but down here on this, there's a plaque right here, and beneath me, there's 24 Bibles in the foundation of this church. But it says right here beneath my feet, know then, if you are certain of your calling, this goes to every guest speaker, by the way. They know they're going to stand on this thing. It says a lot of stuff up here. But if you have shown yourself approved unto God, and if you have prayed yourself ready, then now let yourself go. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay? So, if this is true, and it's terrifying, stomach churning, mouth all dry, that's when God moves in. You say, well, God, I can't do this. He said, that's right, you can't. I'll just do it for you and with you and through you. You guys, that's the way to live. It's so cool. It is so great to live like that. Just know this, that the new you in Jesus Christ is created to serve, and you'll never be happy as a believer until you're actually serving someone. Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. Remember that? It might be the devil. He said, it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. He is right. You'll serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but we were created to serve somebody. And as Christians, as believers, we are created to serve the Lord. So if you're a new Christian tonight, or if you want to go on seriously with your walk with Jesus, mark this stuff down. Daring also the weaknesses in your life, daring not to be like most. Quickly, Daniel 11:32 is an awesome verse. Daniel 11:32 says, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Wow, that's Daniel 11:32. Know that verse. God wants you to carry out great exploits. To the person tonight that is saying, "I can't," you're the one who he wants to do the greatest exploits with. It's the person tonight that's saying, "I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Come on." Watch out, because the temptation for you to take the glory is big. As the church was growing in the New Testament and influencing the world around it, listen to this. Acts 17, verse 6, as they were persecuting, the unbelieving world was persecuting the church, it says that they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, and they cried out saying, "These who have turned the world upside down have now come here." Wouldn't that be great if people in the community, as church lets out, oh no, Calvary is letting out. And the doors open up. And those who have turned the world upside down have now come to our town. Wouldn't that be amazing if devils drove by in their little cars in the spirit? They had to roll up their windows when they drove by because they couldn't stand the worship. I'm melting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you guys just decided to pray and be daring for God and say, "Lord, give us America, give us the lost or else we die." If we prayed like that, can you imagine the demonic realm would just shudder? And think of the heavenly host, the angels. Yeah, now we're talking. Imagine. It's always done with a few people too, so God gets the glory. If you're a mom, be a spirit-filled mom. You know what? If you're a teacher, be a spirit-filled teacher. Daring not to be like most. Don't be like the crowd. Be a radical mom for Jesus. Be a radical teacher for Jesus. Are you a contractor? Be a radical spirit-filled contractor for Jesus. Or a gardener. Or whatever your calling is. It's pretty much impossible to be a lame duck Christian when the Bible says things like this. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Can you imagine? I'm so excited. My kids, we just got tickets today to the opening game at Anaheim Stadium. It's like, I've never been to an opening game before. I can tell you this right now. The temptation to go there and say, man, you wear red, you know, angel colors, and you're doing all this stuff. And you know what? We do that stuff in the world. And you know what? We thank God for that. We thank God for the freedom. We thank God for the opportunity. But do we get that excited about spiritual things? Can you imagine? Point number two, the disciplines of daring. Daring the opportunities in your life. Daring them. Opportunities. You might want to put the word challenges. Dare them. What's going on in your life? Mark it down. What is the big challenge tonight in your life? What is worrying you? What is worrying me? Write it down. This thing is worrying me. This thing is my challenge.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, and his message called Disciplines of Daring. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life. It's a series that highlights the disciplines of those of us that follow Christ and the high cost of sharing our faith with others in a lost and broken world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Daniel Cohen here from Israel. If you love Pastor Jack Hibbs' fearless approach to teaching God's Word, you'll love the Real Life Network. It's built for warriors who want the truth, God's truth. On The Daniel Cohen Show, we bring you stories the mainstream media downplays. It's time to start getting your news from people you trust, and it's totally free. Sign up now at reallifenetwork.com.
U.S. strikes. Israel on alert. Iran escalating. Does anyone else feel like today's headlines sound straight out of Bible prophecy? Jesus told us these days would come, not so we'd panic, but so we'd be prepared. That's why we created the Prophecy Pack, Understanding God's Plan for the Future, a practical guide to help you live ready. Don't just watch the news. Understand it through God's Word. Get your Prophecy Pack now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com.
Hey, thank you again so much for listening. And if you'd like to hear or see more of what we do here, you can always go to jackhibbs.com for all the latest on what's going on with this ministry. And please, if you're ever in the Southern California area, come see us at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. We'd love to see you there in person. It has been so good to be with you today, and I pray you find yourself in the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. See you on the next episode.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.